How long and at what temperature? The question seemed absurd to most in the room. The class of new accounting professionals had arrived on their first day of training, and here their instructor, without a single word of knowledge, asked the question. Blank stares from the group. The instructor repeated themselves, "How long and at what temperature?" Now the students were looking around the room, looking at each other, each one with the same confused look on their faces. The instructor repeated the question a third time. How long and at what temperature? Finally, one student had the look of understanding come across his face. He smiled and raised his hand. The instructor called upon him, and the student proudly answered, "How do we cook the books?" Yes, the setup was humorous and wasn't directly linked to legitimate training information. But knowledge wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to get the attention of the class and to help set the tone that they needed to think about things a little bit differently. Today, the lectionary readings honed in on the baptism of Jesus, Epiphany. We could spend time looking at Mark 1, 4 through 11, where the story is told of John baptizing people, of Jesus coming to the Jordan and being baptized himself, and of the Spirit descending like a dove and God claiming Jesus as God's Son, with whom God was well pleased. So why instead talk about today's reading from the book of Acts? Because there's more to think about than just God's pride in the Son. Which brings us to the question Paul asks the disciples in Ephesus, and their confusion, not unlike those accounting students. Paul doesn't open with, "Have you been baptized?" or "Have you confessed your sins?" Paul asked, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you came to believe?" And just like those accounting students, the disciples all looked around at each other with confusion. Because just like that class, the disciples of Ephesus didn't have the context of the question. So they had no idea what Paul was talking about. In this case, though, none of them arrived at it on their own. Paul had to clarify by asking how they were baptized. The answer was, of course, John's baptism with water. Paul then gave them the missing information they needed to understand the question, the answer that they needed to deepen their knowledge. Remember that in Mark 1, verse 8, John makes clear that "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So Paul reiterates that message by explaining the difference between the baptism with water and the baptism in the Spirit. Paul clarifies, John baptized with a baptism by which people showed they were changing their hearts and lives. It was a baptism that told people about the one who was coming after him. This is the one in whom they were to believe. This one is Jesus. You see, there was some unfinished business with these disciples. Sure, they were baptized, but something else was missing. Pastor Bob Deffenbaugh of the Community Bible Chapel in Richardson, Texas, put it this way. "I believe that Paul's question about the reception of the Holy Spirit at the time they believed was intended to determine whether or not they had come to faith in Jesus as their Messiah." Think about it for a moment. Suppose that you're Paul, and you met some fellow Jews who believed in the Old Testament and who were waiting for the Messiah to come in the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. How could you quickly determine whether or not these folks had come to a completed faith, knowing about Jesus and trusting in Jesus, or whether they still waited for a Savior with the blank for the name not filled in yet? For Paul, the way to determine whether or not a person had trusted in Jesus for salvation was to discern whether or not they had received the Holy Spirit. Even in our own United Church of Christ understanding of baptism, it reflects this. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. Through baptism, a person is joined with the universal church, the body of Christ. In baptism, God works in us the power of forgiveness, the renewal of the Spirit, and the knowledge of the call to be God's people always. So we connect to the church and open the door for God to forgive and renew us. But it stops short of filling us with the Holy Spirit. This can't happen until we not only turn from our former ways, but when we have a faith so strong, so deep, so powerful, that we fully and completely accept Jesus as one Lord and Savior. Paul knew there was a significant difference in the two baptismal phases. In baptism by water, there's a clear acknowledgement that one baptized is confessing and repenting for their sins, turning away from an old way of life and starting a new one. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the baptized person fully believes in Jesus as the one true Messiah, sent to reconcile all of us with God. It just means they're willing to try something different from the direction they were headed before. But is being filled with the Holy Spirit just about believing in Jesus? No. Jesus was the enabler to the Holy Spirit becoming a part of those who believed so that his power could work through them. This is the part I will admit to struggling with, and I'm sure many of you have too. We get the idea of a father and son, but this mysterious spirit that we can't see can be very confusing. To help with that, I love the way that Craig Greshel of Life Church captures just what the power of the Holy Spirit is. In part, he says, Christians today, all over the world, put on their little work gloves and they take out their shovels and they say, we're going to live the Christian life. And in their own strength, they strive and fight and battle and don't get very far. Why? Because they are trying to live the Christian life in their own strength when there is a far greater power available. The Bible says this, and this is amazing. To those of you who believe in Christ, you have access to the very same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave. You can be filled with the powerful Spirit of God, and you have the ability to live a supernatural life in a very natural world. And yet, so many put on their gloves and grab their shovels and struggle without the power available through the Holy Spirit. Believe in Christ. Access the amazing power of the Holy Spirit to live out a Christian life. That's why Paul's question matters so much. And it's incredible, isn't it? No matter how much we think the odds are stacked against us, through full and complete acceptance of Jesus, we are given a power that will counter any obstacle. But it takes time and practice to get our faith to that level. It's kind of like last year's Super Bowl 51. Even the most devout of Patriots fans would have watched the score run up to 28-3 in the third quarter and sank back expecting an Atlanta Falcons celebration. But New England do something different. They had spent countless hours preparing, practicing, and drilling. And they knew if they consistently applied what they had practiced, they would see success. The result, now a legendary 34-28 overtime win for the Patriots, came from the devoted execution of everything they had trained for all year. The trick is, how do we apply that same lesson to our lives of faith? How do you prepare, practice, and drill a belief in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit? While I'm sure there is no one way, I can share that I found strength in four C's: in conversation, in consideration, in companionship, and in consistency. Conversation is prayer. It's all prayer is. It's a conversation with God. We can have it anytime. It doesn't have to be here for 1 hour a week. At a Tuesday afternoon when you're sitting at a desk at work, or on a Wednesday evening when you're gathered with family and friends, or even when you open your eyes on a Friday morning and rise from bed. That conversation can happen. All that prayer means is an open and honest conversation with God. It doesn't have to be formal, and absolutely should happen during the course of a day, not just here in worship. It doesn't last long or take long. And God always has an ear turned to listen to whatever it is that you want to say. Consideration is getting information to learn and understand more. The easiest way that I know to do this is through using a devotional. They can be as basic as a book and are now incredibly easy to get right on your phone, on your tablet, or on your computer. Devotionals let us take a guided path to deeper understanding of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Today is as good a day as any to start one and get into the habit. Companionship is important because we weren't created to go it alone. We were created to live in community with each other. By adopting a prayer and study partner, we get support that matches our vision here at South Killingly to encourage one another, leaving no one out and leaving no one behind. We can also develop an accountability partner who will help us steadily deepen our faith and increase the space we open up for the Holy Spirit to enter us and make our lives the wonder-filled time God wants for us. Consistency should seem pretty natural by now. The way to make all of this feel more natural is to do it each day until it becomes our new normal. Studies have shown it takes 21 days to build a habit. For example, when I started Weight Watchers, the process of tracking everything that I ate felt weird and sometimes even troubling. But I knew the system worked, so I stuck with it. And by the end of the first month, I couldn't imagine eating anything without capturing the fact that I had eaten it. Praying, reading, and partnering with someone else all work in similar ways. Start it and make a commitment to do it for at least 3 weeks. By week four, you'll be doing it as comfortably as anything else that's a part of your daily life. And what makes all of this easier to do? It's the why. Why do we do this? Why are we here? What was it Craig Gresham said? To those of you who believe in Christ, you have access to the very same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave. I don't know about you, but I need that power in my life every day, every minute of every day. The church needs that power flowing through it as God's house. And truthfully, our world around us needs far more of that Holy Spirit to ensure we all live in the most amazing world ever. Shall we start the process with a prayer together? Let's pray. God, we need your Holy Spirit more than ever. We need it not just to surround us, but to fill us. And God, I pray that the hearts gathered here today remain turned toward you. I pray that you will provide the inspiration each person here needs to have a conversation with you. I pray that your encouragement helps each one here consider all you have told us in your word through daily devotional reading. I pray that you bind us together in companionship, that we follow the words you gave us through Paul, speaking encouraging words to one another, building up hope so that you'll all be together in this, no one left out and no one left behind. And And I pray that you offer us each the determination to consistently call on the name of Jesus as our Messiah each moment of each day. God, we call on Jesus' name as our Savior, inviting the Holy Spirit in. Let your Spirit fill us and flow through us, that your will can be done, that we can live in peace and joy all the days of our lives. In the name of the risen Savior, whom you claimed as your Son, with whom you were well pleased, we pray.